for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 30th, 1986. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Maxwell White of Toronto, Canada, is the minister of the morning. Praise you, Lord. You may be seated. You know,
well, it's nice to be down here again in Arkansas. By the way, tell me, is the name of the river Arkansas or Arkansas? Oh, it's both Arkansas. Thank you. Well, I want to continue with the theme of restoration. We're going into Exodus chapter 3, and there's a tremendous amount in this Exodus chapter 3. It's a big subject. I really need another session to complete it, but I'll cover the highlights this morning. It's 11:03, and I have to be finished by midday, right? Our stomachs say right. We'll read from verse 24 and 25 of Exodus 2, showing the beginning of restoration. And God, well, verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. I want you to know this. I want some more agua pura, please. Water, please. This world is in total bondage. It's in bondage to what is called the system of Babylon. Babylon once fell. Babylon today will fall again. Now keep that in mind. The world system is beginning to crack. Amen. But there's somebody down here who's crying and sighing. That's the church. Thank you. The children of Israel, today in the New Covenant, that's the church, sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. As Brother Miller said, we need to pray for President Reagan. I pray for the Queen. We need to pray for the Western nations. I pray for Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Germany.
Yes, amen.
I pray for Italy and Spain and Portugal. I said, Lord, bring the Catholic Church down and bring in Jesus.
Yes.
Prayed every day. Amen. God hears my prayer. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. When the church begins to pray with groaning, Lord, deliver us from this mess. He'll do it. And the next verse shows how he does it. Now, here's a guy called Moses. Moses represents the leadership of the church. He's a type of Christ. But he represents to us today the leadership of the church. And he'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. And the leaders who are beginning to emerge have belonged to churches which have been in the wilderness for years. In fact, to get a proper perspective on things, you need to know a little of European church history. And sad to say, an awful lot of Americans don't know it. You will not know what's going on today unless you knew what went on yesterday. Do you know, by the year 375, there were no more gifts of the Spirit in the church. Some people are always looking for a falling away. My friends, the falling away basically has taken place. It began in 475. By the year 610 A.D., the first pope was put on the throne by the emperor of the world system, a man called Phocas. And from A.D. 610 until Martin Luther, you had a church in the wilderness. It was called the Dark Ages. There was no light. There was no salvation. There was no power. There was no nothing. That's a long time, A.D. 610 to 1517. And then a little light came in when Martin Luther arrived. And from 1517 until the beginning of this century, there was a very slight movement in the church. But by the beginning of this century, something happened. We'll read on. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. That's just where the church was all those years, in the backside of the desert. And came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This is a marvelous, marvelous picture of the church being set on fire. Jesus had said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. In fact, in Matthew 21, I think it is, the church is referred to, or the kingdom of God is referred to, as a tree, brings forth fruits. And here is this old bush which has been in the wilderness for many years, suddenly being set on fire. But look, all around this one bush are lots of other bushes, hundreds of them. And they all seem to be dead. Here is a picture of what God is doing. His one true church is being set on fire and all the others are still dead. That's not unkind. For some years, about 8 years, I used to attend the charismatic leaders' conference in St. Louis, Missouri. There were Catholics there, Episcopalians, Baptists, Pentecostals, everybody. And one day, with my big mouth, I always use it. Okay, well, I said, some of you brethren need to remember, it says in the Bible, come out from them and be ye separate. It was dead silence. When the fire burns, get in the fire. And will you notice that in the midst of this bush with many branches, all on fire, the voice of God spoke out of it? Now, I want to submit that most churchgoers today and others, if they were going through a forest area and they came upon a bush or a tree that was burning and not being consumed, and suddenly the voice of God spoke out of it, they'd run. They'd be scared. Well, that's exactly what happened here. In verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. You see, Moses was a highly educated man. he knew very well that wood can't burn without being consumed. I want you to know, friends, that the more you burn, you will not be consumed. You'll scare people to death. You will be unpopular. They won't want to have anything to do with you. I'm used to that. All my life, I had a tremendous baptism of the Holy Ghost when God set me on fire. And from that moment, I lost all my friends, all my relatives, everybody. When I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, my wife said, I'll leave you. That's how I was brought up. She didn't. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. When you are set on fire, you are different from all the other bushes round about you. Don't forget it. You're not the same. You're different. I guess that's what these sonship teachers mean. But Moses didn't run because God had his hand on Moses. And I know very well that from my earliest childhood, God had his hand on me. I know it. It's been most exciting. I have never been scared of anything. All I want to see is more fire.
Amen. Amen.
All I want to see is more people delivered.
Amen.
As I told you last night, I've had demons say, I'll kill you. I said, you could. A dead twig can't put the fire out of a live twig. Remember who you are. Get on fire and have a ball. Chasing the devil, cleaning up situations. Moses wasn't afraid. God had his hand upon him. He'd been a long time in the wilderness and he was getting tired of it. God knew that psychologically. This was God's time to reveal Moses back to the church. And when the Lord saw, God was looking for it, see? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God was purposely doing this to attract Moses' attention. I remember one time years ago in London, England, I was in a full gospel meeting. Someone spoke in tongues quite nicely, and up pops an Anglican minister who was there and ran out of the church. Well, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here am I. He didn't run away. He heard God's audible voice out of the midst of a burning bush. And that is what God is doing today. He's restoring gifts of the Spirit. Do you realize how many gifts of the Spirit in the church are voice gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of faith, word that casts out devils, word that heals the sick? Not a dumb church. It's a speaking church on fire. And if you don't like the heat, you won't like the word either. You won't like the command either. I want you to know, friends, that when you are a spirit-filled, hot, burning, tongue-talking Christian, the world won't want you around. Make up your mind. But you're there when you're needed. And today is the day when we are beginning to be needed. Do you realize that it is possible? Now, I'm very careful how I say these things. It is possible that the great United States of America will go bankrupt. I personally believe they will. Bankrupt. Then what? Is that the end? No. That's our great opportunity. Do you realize that we have in us a creative word? And then we can create things. Have you ever thought of that? I was one time in England, and My wife asked me to make up a parcel of soiled shirts and clothing to send back to Canada. And I got a beautiful piece of paper and I made up a big parcel about that long of garments. One thing I lacked, I said to my host, can I have a piece of string? So he looked everywhere. I came back and said, sorry, I haven't got a piece. So I didn't even blink. Before him, I said, in the name of Jesus, I create a piece of string. Now, don't look at me like that. I immediately, as directed by the Lord, went just a few steps, opened the drawer in the kitchen, and there was a piece of string. And it was just the right length, just the right thickness, and just the right size. Now, you can think what you like, but I needed a piece of string, and I got it. He said, boy, you are a fanatic. Well, you know that old hymn, I shall not be denied. You don't need to be denied anything. It's needful. That's needful. And then this goes on where we've been singing. Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Friends, I want you to stand, to know, understand, that when we walk around this place, we are walking on holy ground. And people are going to know it. If the United States goes bankrupt with Canada, where are people going to come for help? Overcoming Christians. That's where they're going to come for help. Not the homosexuals ordained as ministers. We have got the answer. And there's going to be a day when people will want that answer. Because I know Reagan will be out in 2 years. But you want to pray that the next president will get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Set on fire. I pray for our Queen that she'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But a lot of our leaders need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Right. Make all the difference in the world. Verse 7, this is what the Lord is saying to us today. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, bound. The very monetary system that we have came out of Rome, which got it from Egypt. And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Now watch this. I am come down to deliver them out. This is deliverance in its fullest sense. Out of the land of the Egyptians. And to bring them up out of the land unto. And this is where we're going, friends. A good land and a large unto a large, a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. They're all going to be cleaned out as we go in. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Amen.
What is before us? In one sense, of course, I'm a kind of a patriarchal type. I'm a leader type. I'm teaching people and leading people. But you young people, it says that in Deuteronomy. It's the young people who go in. There'll be a few Calebs. I hope I'll be among them with Father Miller. It's going to be absolutely marvelous what we are going to see. We are on the winning team. Satan is on the losing team. But he knows that his time is short, so he's going around making as much noise and mess as he can. And I rebuke him right now in Jesus' name and put my foot on him. All right, verse 10. Come now, therefore, Moses, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, certainly I will be with thee. What's that? Certainly I will be with thee. Moses had run away. Now God was bringing him back. The church ran away from early apostolic Christianity with signs and wonders following. Now God is bringing us. And as I said 2 days ago, without a church, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing, where on earth? The healings, the deliverances will be absolutely fantastic. They will be so great that even television will have to mention it. And television is controlled entirely by Pharaoh. What is coming is glorious. And we have the answer in our hand. He's forming a burning bush church. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And as we move forward, anyone who comes in our way will be burned. And the voice of God will go forth out of thousands of voices. Satan, get out of our way. In the name of Jesus, get out. And there will be a revival in the land. Listen, if you've ever been taught the falling away is coming, forget it. That has happened. That's hard for some people to take, but you don't hear very much of it now. You don't hear very much of it now. From now on, it's all restoration. Back to where the church was in the beginning. And I like to, or somebody said here the other day, the first miracle that took place on the day of Pentecost was, rise and walk. And we are going to say that hundreds of thousands of times. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear their ears unstopped. Someone yesterday said up here, well, why are you wearing glasses? We're wearing glasses so we can see better. That's why, if you want to know. I'm not foolish. There was a man called Hobart Freeman who took the position, you don't use anything, and he died. The super faith teaching. The time is coming, like with Moses. If Moses had gone out 1 year before, it wouldn't have worked. There's a time in God's timing. And this is the beginning. Very soon, none of us will need glasses. None of us will need hearing aids. And the cripples will be healed. I don't know whether our hair will all grow back. I'm not worried about that. See, some of you people are even worse condition than I am. But the point is this, we shall have our strength renewed as the eagles. We shall be able to mount up. All this is coming because the Holy Ghost is being pressed down more and more upon this earth. And me, I just want to tell you, do you know what I got inside me? Shall I tell you? I've got inside me the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And for me, that makes four. And I've got at least one guardian angel. So every time I walk down the road or anywhere, there's five of us. That's right. The devil comes against me. I say, now, just a minute. How many are you guys? Well, it's me. Only one. Get off. Five of us. Remember that. Actually, there's probably 500 or more because the angels of God. Oh, I love this. Angels are ministering spirits to those who are the heirs of salvation. They are our ministers. And in the Old Testament, one angel killed 185,000 people. What are you afraid of? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of a disciplined mind. Of course, some people inherit fear. It's a curse. Too many people. I think that's one reason why so many people are getting delivered so easily today. I told you the first two people I delivered way back in 1948 took over an hour each. Now they're getting delivered like that. And soon, maybe a year or two, when people come on holy ground, when they step on holy ground, they'll be delivered. They'll fall down and they'll vomit the demons out. They'll come into the meeting. Delivered. Do get excited about this. I am. I can see it in the spirit. I can see it coming. Nothing can stop it. In Joel chapter 2, it talks about the army of the Lord. And that's who we are. That's what I think I'm right in saying this, the sons of God people are majoring on, the army, building up an army of the Lord. But don't get so that you think you're the only people. God is going to bring in millions.
Amen.
It's going to be all over the world.
Amen.
Do you know somebody, some dear African pastor? Incidentally, my book on the blood has sold 600,000 copies. He got my book, Dominion Over Demons. I put that in the hands of a black African pastor in Africa, and it's dynamite. He read this and said, demons, I can cast them out. Well, that's simple. So he calls a meeting and starts asking how many people got demons. Of course, they nearly all came up and started to cast them out right, left, and center. And the whole village, the whole community was alerted. And he had thousands of people come to the meeting. That's the way it's going to be done. It's going to be done by signs and wonders and miracles. And the nearer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater will be the signs and the wonders and the miracles. I've seen some. Thank God. I would like to have seen a great more. But it's coming. I've even raised the dead. I've tried. Don't limit God. But there was trouble. Now look. Here was the word of the Lord to Moses. Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, and certainly, without a doubt, without any possibility of doubt, I will be with you. Now that's a wonderful prophecy. Wherever you go, Moses, I'm with you. Chapter 4, verse 1. How typical is Moses of a human Christian? He might have been Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Methodist. He might have been anything, hiding in the desert. This was his reaction. God had spoken to him by a miracle in a burning bush in clear, audible voice and said, I will be with you. Jesus said to us, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And Moses answered and said, but. You know who do that? Sheep never but. Goats do. Are you a sheep or a goat? But, behold, now this is in effect saying, look, God, for a change, you look at me. I'm speaking this time. Now you listen to me. They will not believe me. See? Nor hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now before he could say, goodbye Lord, I'm going home, God was quick off the mark. He said, just a minute. Moses, what have you got in your hand? Now he caught Moses completely off guard here. Moses had a shepherd's rod. that the Pope carries. Oh, no, he doesn't. He carries a crucifixion. What have you got in your hand, Moses? Moses said, just two words. A rod. I like that. Remember Psalm 23? Thy rod, thy staff, and thy rod, they comfort me. What is the rod? It's the word of God. It was this rod that Moses used when he parted the Red Sea. It's God's authority. When he held up the rod, God's authority, the Red Sea parted. And we've got that rod. We have got that rod. It is God's word. All we have to do is to hold it up and say, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
But he didn't know that. And I'm afraid an awful lot of people that go to church don't know it either. But they don't know the word. Of all the people, Pentecostal people, in my opinion, are the most poorly taught in the word of God of all people. The Baptists and everybody else have got a much better, at least it may be a bit of a hard knowledge of the word, but the Pentecostals are poor in the knowledge of the word. God said, cast it on the ground. Well, that's a simple operation. They throw a stick on the ground, a dead stick too. No harm in that. You know, my friends, once you start opening your big mouth and start casting the words of Jesus about, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. In fact, the more of them you cast about, the more friends you lose. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. I remember when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, my wife joined me. We used to have a weekly schedule on Wednesday at playing bridge with a number of people. We used to enjoy it. And so we go around to their homes and said, now look, instead of playing bridge tonight, we want to tell you what's happened to us. And we told them how we had been baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoken in other tongues. I remember one lady, a Roman Catholic, came up to me one time, and she said, what do you mean, speaking in other tongues? I said, do you want to hear? And I gave her a burst. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The result of this was that we lost all our friends except two, and they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. All the others avoided us. Some would even cross over to the other side of the road when they saw us coming, because they knew we spoke in tongues. But friends, that is an evidence of the word coming out of the burning bush. You better speak in tongues a lot. You might even be surprised at what God tells you. Do you know everyone who speaks in tongues can prophesy? Do you know that? Do they? Why? Scared. Spirit of fear. When we really get cleaned up and cleaned out, I tell you, that word is going to come out of the fire with power to our neighbors and to our friends. And Moses fled. Just exactly like our friends in our churches who do not speak in tongues. They'd rather run all the way home than come to a meeting like this. Yet they're human beings. They would say they were sons of God. They're born again anyway, so they have to be baby sons and not mature sons. What a tremendous privileged people we are. But don't look for popularity in this world. I often say to my wife, to whom I have been married 52 years, so if you folk want to know how to get on in marriage, I'll tell you. I say, you know, honey, it's not fair. I'm sure you're doing much better than me. And you're going to get a great big mansion in heaven. Never mind, honey. Please reserve a room in the basement for me. But I did tell her that if she died before me, I wouldn't speak to her for 10 years. When Moses was beginning to run away, the Lord said unto Moses, stop, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. That's a safe place to handle the serpent. There is a safe place. And thank God, Moses was faithful and true to his God. He could have run away and said, you find somebody else for this business. I'm not going to start picking up serpents. Who do you think I am? I'm a Presbyterian. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. He had proved God, and he proved that in his hand the rod was God's authority. We carry God's authority. And don't forget this, in you, in your tummy, you are carrying Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Everywhere you go, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost go in you. That's a tremendous thought. You could even go in houses of iniquity, but then Father, Son, and Holy Ghost would clean that place up if you stayed too long, because we establish holy ground. Why? Verse 5, that they may believe. Who? Pharaoh and all the Egyptians. That they may believe. Listen, don't you want USA to believe? Don't you want North America to believe? South America? Africa? Don't you want them to believe? Well, you got the answer. It's in your hands. It's the authority of God. You got it. Reagan hasn't got it. Schultz hasn't got it. I have. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Moses' heart was beating quickly. Well, thank God that's over. Whew. Just a minute, Moses. I'm finished with you yet. Have you ever noticed why God keeps on with us? He hasn't finished with you yet. You're not where you ought to be yet. Hallelujah. I've found in my own personal experience, the last 10 years of my life have been in some ways the most difficult. Because God has been dealing with me as he never dealt with me before in the years before that. But I've been growing in grace. Thank God for that. Verse 6. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Moses became sick with a sickness unto death. Do you wonder why you do? Some people have taken the unnatural position. Oh, I'll never get sick. All right, Brother Miller, I had to go into hospital. I've been in hospital twice in the last 10 years. But what I learned by those experiences, you learn more looking at the hospital ceiling and praying than you jumping around. I tell you, when you are confined with a pipe through your nose, looking at the ceiling, you learn things you never knew about yourself before. It's true. I don't wish you a happy hospital visit, but maybe you'll get one. Amen? Look at my hand. That's what happens when I obey God. See? He's made me sick. That's not what the faith people said. What's wrong here? Listen. I'll say it again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. All. I often say, Lord, the only thing in your Bible that I can see is deliverance and healing. I don't see leprosy. Not for me. I see healing. Poor old Moses. Verse 7. God said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. Oh, not again, Lord. It'll fall off this time. What's he getting at? But he obeyed. I tell you, in these few verses, Moses had gone through a lifetime of humiliation. God was preparing him for a great ministry because he had dared to say, Lord, they won't listen to me. God thought, I'll show him. I'll cut him down to size. Have you ever wondered why you got in a mess? That was God cutting you down to size. Thank you, Lord. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Here we see in this type a tremendous teaching that is being fulfilled in its final form today. God has given the leaders of the church power to handle the serpent, the devil. I said, handle. You don't run away when you see the devil coming. You said, hello, here he comes. Ah, gotcha. And to heal sickness. Is that in the Holy Ghost? Yes. The gifts of healing and the working of miracles. They're both there. They're both in the Holy Ghost. And if you have got the Holy Ghost in your belly, then you have got in your belly the ability to handle the devil and to heal people. Don't minimize it. It's there. And God is waiting the time when he's going to propel us all and we're going to do these things. And but America has got to come a little lower yet in material sense. In recent years, we've had abortion, filthy television. The press and television are against the church. And after all, let's face it, much of the church is largely meaningless, makes no sense at all, and you can't blame the press lampooning it. I don't like to mention the denominations. Well, I will. How many Catholics here? Ex-Catholics. 1, 2, 3. Do you know what I heard the other day, and I think it's the best description of the Catholic Church I've ever heard? A pagan church with a thin veneer of Christianity. I think that's the best description I've ever heard. Do you know, pretty well everything that the Catholic Church is pagan, even the Mass is pagan. They took it from the pagan Egyptian sources and took it in among themselves. When the Pope visited Canada recently, he went to some Indians, tribes, and they said to him, we are not allowed anymore, so we are told, to practice some of our old worship practices. The Pope said, yes, you are. I give you my authority. You can practice any of those ancestral practices that you want and stay in the Catholic Church. That was last year. It doesn't matter what kind of religion you'd have. Bring it in with you into the Catholic Church and still keep on practicing it. Anyway, I won't go into that now. But you can't blame the press for lampooning the dead, but it'll be very different when the church comes alive and starts healing the sick in millions and casting out demons in millions, and it's publicized. I tell you, people will flock to you. But we can't handle it. It'll be done in mass or by prayer cloths. That's a very effective method. I send out a lot, like Brother Miller does, and I've had some astonishing results. Well, then in verse 8, shall come to pass if they will not believe thee. Isn't that amazing? if they will not believe you after demonstrations like that. Neither hearken to the voice. That's what you said, Moses, of the first sign, casting out demons, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign, healing the sick. They will believe. Now, if you're going on quickly, 5 more minutes, turn with me into Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke and verse chapter 9. Now, this is how Jesus began to prepare the people for the coming of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, which began the Christian church. That's when it was born. This was before there was any Christian church. Verse 1 of chapter 9, Luke. Then he called his 12 disciples together. These were the called out number, like he's calling out today. And gave them power, that dunamis power, dynamic power. Power and authority, number one, over all demons. Can we make too much of this deliverance ministry? No, we can't, so long as we put it in with all the rest. Power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. There they are. That's what Moses has shown. That's what Moses has given. Exactly the same. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mentally sick, spiritually sick, physically sick. We turn the page. Chapter 10. He sent out 70 others. Chapter 10, verse 1. It's spreading. It's opening up like it is today. We're very much like the 70. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. That's 82. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And then in verse 9, here was the instruction. You men, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. That's why these other brethren have been talking about the kingdom of God. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, number one, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. Number one. Notice that. When we deal with demons, we're taking the serpent by his tail. Then we move on. Mark 16. Now it gets very personal. You can't wriggle out of this one. Oh, it's not the original. 16 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be made whole. But he that believeth not shall be condemned or damned. Notice this. And these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. It's amazing. This has been in the Bible for hundreds of years. And all the church has done is sing songs and entertain themselves. Number two, they shall speak with new tongues. Number three, they shall take up or remove. Remove is the word.
Right.
Remove serpent. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. But don't go and eat some shellfish full of poison and expect not to get sick. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Who's that? You and me?
Amen.
We can't wriggle out of it. It's there. And if it's there, God is going to restore it. Because we are in the day of the restoration of all things. And the day is fast coming upon us when the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Canada or the President of Mexico, whoever he may be, is going to have to come to the church and say, friends, what shall we do? We have no more ideas left.
Amen.
And we shall tell them the words inside us in the Holy Ghost will come out as words of wisdom. We may even say, thus saith the Lord. That'll shake them. And if they obey it, it'll work. It's up to them to accept Jesus as their Savior. You see how it's going to work? It's all wonderful for the Christian now on. Everything is before you. The ball is in your hands. All you've got to do is to run with the ball and keep on scoring touchdowns. Satan has lost.
Amen.
Now, this is our last meeting. If there's anyone who wants prayer for anything, our prayer, collective prayer for healing of sickness and tangling, taking the devil by the tail. So if you've got a devil, I'll take you by the tail. If you've got a sickness, you will be healed. That's all there is to it. It's that simple. It won't take long. Some people, you know, say, well, spend an hour with me. It isn't worth it. It can happen just like that now. Getting quicker and quicker all the time. So you come forward if you have a need. Go home healed. Now, I don't... Have you people been up for prayer before? You have? Did you take it first time? Or is it something else? Are you asking for something else this time? Are you being prayed for the same thing twice? The same thing?
No, the second.
Second thing. Because I don't want you to be prayed for the same thing twice. That's unbelief. See? Okay. Very good. Now we're going to pray. Then the meeting will be dismissed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against all these satanic visitations of Satan upon these people. Satan, we take you by the tail. We twist your tail. We command you, loose and come out of the people's lives. We pull you out. By force, in the name of Jesus, come out, come out, come out, come out.
Amen.
We bind your evil power. And these sicknesses, we bind them. Let them go. Let the sicknesses depart. Sicknesses go. Spirits of infirmity, come out. Spirits of infirmity, come out. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. And you must act your faith. Take up your bed and walk. You may not feel like it, but do it. Act your faith. Whatever it was, sickness go. Sickness go.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.